Your children, are they aware of that now?
Not fully, I don't think. But they have a good idea.
Thank you very much. All my life I've heard about the residential schools. I've never had anybody spend to one talk to me about it. I'd like to hear a lot more. And I think it's so important that you're making us aware of this part of our history, because a lot of this stuff is going deeply enough, just sort of surface knowledge. It's just so important that what you're doing. Thank you very much.
One thing is, like it was all most of it was negative, right? So the positive story I have about the residential school, my experience was there was a band member that worked as a supervisor, and for some reason he took an interest in me, and he bought me my first birthday cake. So I had my first birthday cake there. And you know, I was able to introduce, I told my kids the story, I was able to introduce him to my kids. So that's a positive story.
Well, I'd like to say you are a true warrior. You've shown your great courage to overcome all what you have, mm-hmm. and also share it with such openness and willingness to include us without imposing any guilt. That of itself takes great discernment. So thank you. Mm-hmm. And I guess I want to share a little bit of my German heritage. When my mother went through refugee camps from the time she was 9 to 21 until she came to Canada. Some of the things she said that, well, depending on your family, some won't speak at all. Mm-hmm. Some might, but something about what we always thought was a gift in our family is that the women in our family who suffered those talked about it. And they said, basically, translation, when you share the loneliness and the burden and the suffering, even though it's through the person that's experienced it, by telling it and sharing it, even though it causes a bit of pain for the person to hear it, it still makes it easier. And for the children, you know, I would say that I'm the first generation to heal from that, because my grandmother went through the First World War in a similar way, that I was able not to pass on the anxieties and the trauma that my grandmother and mother experienced, because they could share it. So I wish that.
It's important to educate as much as we can on the history of the residential schools, because even in probably in this campus there's no course on the residential schools. And you know, as far as I know, people that have degrees out there, you know, a lot of them haven't even studied the history of the residential schools. So it's important to educate as much as we can about residential schools. And yesterday I was really fortunate to be, I've gone to Killam, me and a co-worker, and we did a presentation to grade 4s to 6s. There were 65 of them. So it was really important to get that education out.
In the 60s there was a book that came out called Reservations Are for Indians by Heather Robertson. And I was a teenager in the 60s, and my dad had the four of us, his kids, to read that book. He said, if you want to know the true history, it's not the history they're teaching you in school. This book has the true history. And it was very, very hard-hitting about the blankets put over children for shaming. And then read the book by Maria Campbell, Half-Breed, back then. So, yeah, the history's there if we are, it can be exposed to it, but this exposure tonight will lead us into more of this discovery, and to not be shamed by it, but to be empowered by it, to be a part of the voice like you are. So really appreciate it, and your gentle spirit.
A little bit of history there. Obima, like I said, it was a lot bigger when it was first created. And when I was doing my social work, in the college, we looked at old videos of elders that had shared history about Obima. And I found out that my grandfather, along with three others, rode to survey the land for the reserve. They rode one day this way, one day this way, one day this way, one day this way. That's how big our land was initially. Those four lakes.
What has caused it to shrink so much? What's happening that's taking the land away?
Can't answer that. I don't know.
I'm in training to be a diaconal minister with the United Church, and it's not something that I take on lightly, because that even more directly links me to this heritage of abuse and mistrust in our society. So something that we focus on in our school is, of course, education and personal connection, and remembering that every generation has something to apologize for. So I'm not really sure how to form my question, but as someone who's worked as part of sort of social work and trying to bring healing in your community, is there something in particular that you're really passionate about changing or improving within the system? Something that you really hope to see blow wide open one day?
I have to really think about that. But you mentioned the United Church. You know, I want to commend the United Church, because they're really leaps and bounds ahead of the other denominations when it comes to assisting First Nations with recovery. You know, they gave a tremendous apology, and they followed that apology with a healing fund, a reconciliation fund that I personally have used and plan on using again. Through that reconciliation fund, I created a working group called Building Bridges, and this was made up of members from Obima and Metaskin. And what we did was we spent one whole day on the history of the Indian residential schools. In the morning, we had 170 grade 10 students from all the different schools in the surrounding area. And then in the afternoon, we had adults, and we went right up until 9 that evening, teaching them about pre-contact history, the history of the Indian residential schools, the impacts of the Indian residential schools, the work of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. So, and then I had 5 different generations of former students, somebody from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, come and talk about their experience. So it was really good. Now I want to follow it up with addressing racism.
When the last school closed in 97, was it like still run the same way as how it was when you were
there? There was still abuse happening, and unfortunately, I don't know if I'm going to excuse their behavior, but it was run by First Nations, and there was abuse still happening. They may have been former students themselves, and unfortunately carried on with the behavior. I don't know.
Yeah.
what the ADA experience is. I went to a hearing a couple weeks ago where the guy was 30 years old. And when they gave out the common experience, I think the youngest one there was 19. So this didn't happen a long time ago.
So with the residential schools, like the day schools, are they doing anything about?
Yeah, it's still in the process right now. The day scholars experienced similar abuses in the schools, and they were left out of the settlement agreement. So there's been a couple law firms that have launched class actions, and they're going to be in the courts for some time because the IRS took more than 10 years in the courts.
Well, my grandparents, they were in the residential school, like from Golcomb. Mm-hmm. She was in the homemaker. Was there. I remember when I was a little girl, when we were going to that treatment center to pick up a family member, and I remember seeing that school, because it's still up. Well, it was still up. I don't know if it's still up.
No.
But that school was up, and my Golcomb was sitting there, and she had like tears in her eyes. And I was a little girl, and I asked her what's wrong, and she said, I've seen a lot in there. And then it just, like, kind of, like, it got to me when you were talking, because I just, that, like, that memory just came into what she must have seen. But she went to grade 10 in that school. Her father was an ordained minister. She knew English before she came in there. So she said that helped her. But she's seen a lot of things. But that's a it just made me think of that.
We said at the beginning we were going to dismiss at 8:45, but so if you would like, you may go, but are you willing to stay around in case some people want to talk with you personally? It's 10 to 8. Okay, all right. So if people want to dismiss, they may, but I don't know how we can thank you, but I think you have a sense of our respect and our gratitude and our commitment.
Yeah, well, this is good enough, you know, just this crowd here, and you know, I'm sure you're going to go talk about it with your siblings, your family, your friends, your relatives. So it's going to have a ripple effect, so this is good. Oh, yeah. Come to Edmonton March 27th to the 30th for the final Truth and Reconciliation event.
Okay, we'll be there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you all for getting the stream going. And I'm signing it over to Mikhail. It's coming your way. Use 106 Radio for life.